listener.
KickPod acknowledges the traditional owners and custodians of the land in which we're recording this podcast, the Yulukut Wulin clan of the Boonwurrung, who are part of the Kulin Nation. We pay our respects to our elders, past and present, and extend our respect to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples today.
Welcome to the KickPod, your D&M on the stuff that matters,
but also the stuff that doesn't. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. Wow, that's a lot. So excited to be back in your ears.
Always.
It is exciting, isn't it?
Pleasure.
Now, before we get into today's episode, I've always got something random for you.
Always.
Okay, my something random this week that I want to ask you and I want to ask everyone as well is, why does putting on deodorant feel so... what's the word?
I don't know.
Like I should be doing it in private.
Oh, so, I know where you're getting at.
Yeah. In our office, we've got some deodorant cans for anyone that forgets to wear deodorant or just wants to have a top up during the day.
Yeah.
Obviously by choice. I use it quite a lot.
Bailey, can you just go and put some deodorant?
No, of course not. Obviously by choice. Anyway, every time I go and I use it, I have to step outside to put it on.
See, I have no...
And it's not because it's aerosol. No. I just feel like it is such an intimate thing to
something you do.
And I don't understand because it's just showing my underarm. Maybe it's the underarms I feel a bit weird about. But I just, I'm like, that is deodorant a private thing? Like, does anyone else feel that?
It's interesting. I mean, I don't feel that. I'm like literally spray it right where it is on the shelf in the corner of our office in front of everyone. I don't care at all. But I also think like it's, I mean, it's also like, I don't know. I think because it's something you usually do in the bathroom, like whether you've like finished at the gym and you're like in the gym bathroom or you're at home and you're putting it on in the morning. It's like, imagine brushing your teeth in front of the team. Like that would be a bit weird too.
Yeah, because we don't have a basin in the office. So
well,
it would be weird.
Yeah. I mean, even if we had a basin, that would be weird, like to just randomly. So I think it's just because it's like something that you do in, I mean, I don't necessarily feel that way, but I think what it's coming from, the intimacy part, is because you usually do it in your bathroom.
Yeah.
Like not in a normal room.
Because if I make eye contact with anyone while I'm doing it, even weirder. Anyway, I think that's a good point, Steffi. Okay. So you've got some news. We've got some kick news. You're going to tell it because I need to hear this.
Yes. Let's be real. You really do.
Yeah. Let's be real. I need to hear this.
Okay. Lawsy, how often do you actually stretch?
Yeah. Look, I'm trying to do more. After I run, I stretch.
Yeah.
Most times now because I am in my injury-free era.
Well, I think that's the thing, right? Because I think you, since you've had a few injuries that have kind of like rocked you around a bit, like not just like a little niggle or whatever that you've been able to get over, like real injuries that have taken months to recover, I feel like that's really made you prioritize your stretching and your mobility, which is awesome. But let's not aim to have an injury to then learn that lesson. Let's all just get on the front foot with it. And we can help you with that because we've actually just dropped 10 brand new mobility classes in the app to help you do those things. Stretch, flex, and release muscle tension to help reduce injury or the chance of injury. And you can do these, there's short ones and longer form ones. So you could do these at the end or at the start of a workout. You could do these on your rest days. You should pop the TV on and follow one along. I will say though, Danny is like so educational in the way that he takes these. Mm. If you've done any of his strength training, you'd know that already about him. But also with these mobility classes, you learn so much about why it's all so important and what part of the body you're stretching, et cetera. And there's some that are like for specific things, like if you've been on your feet all day or if you're pairing it with strength training, et cetera. So we hope you guys enjoy them. Okay, Laws.
Yes.
So something happened on the weekend and it made me giggle a little bit because it made me think about what I often see on TikTok, especially because I feel like I've got a lot more of like the world on TikTok, like a global Is it like the people on Instagram generally I'm following?
You're more domestic.
Do you know what I mean?
You're more domestic.
I'm more local
on Instagram.
But also even the people that I get like sent or whatever on Instagram, a lot of it's real local. I go on TikTok, I'm like
it's
listening to people from all over the world, every single town in the entire world, right?
Talk about random shit.
Yeah. Right? And a lot of the stuff that I see from people all over the world is like they bring up Australia and how they like fear like ever going there because of the snakes and spiders. Like we have the most deadly snakes and spiders in the world, right? Totally fair. However, like I always laugh because I'm like, I I mean, I'm someone who I didn't grow up in the country, but I grew up camping a lot. I've had like a property in the country for a long time, my family. So like I visit it quite a lot. And sure, I've come face to face with some snakes and some spiders and stuff in my time. But like, it's not what people, I think it's not what people think it is. It's not like we're like walking to school with kangaroos next to us, unless you live in regional like places, of course. Yes. But like for the majority of us, it's not like that, right? However, this weekend I had a bit of a face-to-face with a snake.
What type of snake?
An eastern brown snake. One of the most venomous snakes, I think, in the world.
Which, they bite you?
Well, and they then bite you?
You have to go to hospital.
Well, 100% you have to go to hospital. And also if they get like a small child or a baby, it's like very bad.
Because they're so little.
Smaller.
Yes. So it's possible you will die with this snake.
Oh, yeah. They're super venomous. And the thing about the eastern brown
snakes, you know what? Can I say, I grew up in Ivanhoe, yeah, and which is for anyone listening that's not in Australia just slash suburb, Melbourne like slash even
suburbia.
It's suburbia.
Yeah.
We have, there's like a Yarra trail. This is like 20 minutes from the city.
Yeah.
There are brown snakes on that trail. And what's the other snake that's poisonous? Tiger. Brown and tiger snakes. Both Victorian snakes. I don't know if they're from Victoria, but they're both in Victoria.
Yeah.
Both life-threatening snakes, yeah, and they were on the path.
Yeah.
So you know what? It's not just 3 hours away. Australia is dangerous.
How many times did you see one though?
Well, about twice.
About twice.
Yeah, twice.
And how long did you live in Ivanhoe?
Doesn't matter because I...
How long did you live in Ivanhoe?
Look, my entire childhood until I was 20. But...
Exactly. Twice
what
in 20
about
years.
The ones I didn't see?
Yeah, I know. I get it.
In
I
the
totally
bush.
Get it. Anyway, so what happened was I was up the Murray and we were all up as a family and I went over to my mum and dad's place because we live super close to Josh's family place. Anyway... Went into the shed to do a workout while mum was playing with Harvey. And I, like, the reception's shocking up there. So I had to walk a little bit out of the shed to get a few bars of reception. And I went out. In the corner of my eye, I see something move. And all the grass is, like, super dry, right? And I see something, like, faintly move in the corner of my eye. And I look and I see this, like, honestly, the biggest brown snake I've ever seen. It was longer than my dad. Like that tall, like over a...
Like 2 meters.
Like a long, yeah, like a 2 meter, almost 2 meters long, right? Really, really long. And I realized what it was and it was slithering along and I'm like, yeah, that's a snake. And I'm talking 6 meters away from me. Like not at it, obviously knew I was there. It wasn't looking at me, but it was moving and it was moving towards the driveway. So I just, which is what I wanted to give a tip. If you don't know what to do when you come into... In like, if you see a snake like that, you have to walk backwards because you got to keep your eye on it. So you keep your eye on it and then you walk to safety or whatever.
So
anyway,
wait, was it coming towards you?
No, it was like, if I was walking back towards the house, yeah, it was slithering basically parallel to me. So we were both moving at the same pace. I was walking backwards towards the house to obviously go tell my mum and my dad and like keep Harvey inside.
Help me, mum and dad.
And also like my little dog Scamp, my family dog. I'm like, where's Scamp? So anyway, walking back to the house, seeing this snake. But then by the time I got to the house, I once I was up on the deck, I ran to the door. And in that time, I like lost eye contact with it. And I just was like, mum, keep Harvey inside. Dad, like, can you come help me? There's a snake out here. I just need to keep an eye on it. Came back out. Took us a while, but we spotted it again. And then you just basically have to keep an eye on it because you can't like they're very stealthy. They're very quiet and you just got to keep an eye on it. And it's a brown snake. So like, obviously I was like, okay, I'm not going to go and do my workout anymore. I also don't know if I want to get on my bike and ride back to the farm yet with Harvey because it's out there. So we just had to keep an eye on it and basically like started like banging, making all these noises, making the vibrations in the ground.
Could you see it?
We found it. So we saw it and
where
then we could
it?
See it. It went down this like little trench thing that I think is like a trench for water or something. Went down that, came pretty close to the house. Ugh. And that's when we started like to scare it off. And we eventually watched it like go off into the bushes. But it was like this moment also, like I was really surprised with how I reacted because like I think when I've seen snakes before, I've either been up on a horse, which again is kind of scary too because you never
Can
know how
I
a horse
say,
is going to react.
You're just painting the picture of what everyone thinks Australia is. Like Seth just riding a horse, looking at snakes. Like
it's
I
true.
Don't think most people, like I've found, I think I've been on a horse twice in my life. But anyway, when you're riding
at,
the horse, yes.
What I'm getting at is like I'm either like higher or like I might be in a car or like, I don't know. Very
You've
rarely
never been on the same level.
No, and I use and it, which really surprised me because I used to go for like hour long walks up there by myself on pretty warm days, and it would be something I was always conscious of. Like I was literally always looking at the ground when I was on those walks. but I never came across them when I was on my walks. And so being that close on the ground with a brown snake, I thought I would, like, the idea of that, I thought I would shit myself, but I was so calm and literally just went into mama bear mode and just, like, was like, keep Harvey in the house. I need to keep an eye on this snake.
I love that you full call protection. Yourself mama bear. So funny. Sorry. I'm sorry. It's very cute.
It wasn't until the snake was gone and, like, just gone far away that I was like, ugh. You know, like, I yes. didn't get that, like, but scream
that's
or like
how we always are in a crisis though. Like, yeah, you're going to. Like, I would say that's a crisis. I fucking hate snakes. They give me the heebie-jeebies. I just can't deal with them. I'm so proud of you. And thank I'm also you. Happy to know that you went into that mode because yeah. I think maybe I would then go into that mode would. If I saw a snake.
Yeah.
Gives me the heebie-jeebies. Snakes, you know, when I'm running, yeah. when I'm running on the road,
yeah.
I'm thinking about how far I am from a hospital. So, like, and what would I do if a snake got me?
That's pretty if, smart.
Even though there's smart. No, there's it's very unlikely there'll be snakes yeah. on the road. But snakes are in, like, I hate them.
Do you
I'm
know
so
what you
scared
have to
of
do?
Them. What?
Well, if it gets – so if it doesn't get you, you walk way backwards. If it gets you, you have to stay still.
Yeah, and then you have to get your T-shirt off, tie it around so then the blood can't – the yeah. venom can't go into your body. You have yeah. to keep your leg a bit lower. Don't put it up high. It will flow faster.
Yeah.
But then I always think, what if you're in the middle of nowhere? Is it better to get up and move? So
no, it's not, because it'll just flow.
But what if you're there for 3 days on the ground? Okay,
there's lots I'm hoping you're not running on a trail where you're, like, so far away from reception and no one runs there for, like, 3 days.
Okay, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. True.
Please, no one else do that either.
Okay, so now we need to talk about, speaking of, like, Australia, you.
Yeah.
So what you did to me.
Yeah.
So
I came down this to you.
I came down to the river with Steffi. And
I think it was the first time I took you to the river.
I think it was. Yeah. And I was like, I hate snakes. I'm scared of snakes. I'm not a river girl. Yeah. I like the ocean. Yeah. You don't like the ocean as much.
I like the river.
You like the bay.
Because
you can
but
see
I don't go
it.
Past my hips.
No.
Yeah.
But the river, I think, no, because you can't see anything in it. And it's,
there's nothing in it. Anyway.
There is. Continue. You can't see the bottom and it's all murky and, I don't like it. And so Steph was like, we're going on the boat. You need to do kneeboarding.
I didn't say you need to do kneeboarding.
You said you need to try.
Yeah.
I would like you to try.
I'd like you to try.
I feel like you said you need to try.
Okay. Well, probably.
Like, it's a bit forceful in the moment because you wanted me to give it a go because I wasn't keen. And I was like, no, because there might be snakes in the water. Yeah. And you were like, Laura, in my entire time that I have lived in this place and been going here every single year for 20 years, I have never seen a snake on the river.
I think I said once. I've seen once.
And that was 18 years ago.
Yeah, well,
there's no snakes.
I was in a biscuit.
Steph doesn't talk like this. Anyway, we are
getting a photo.
We
happy
are getting
snap.
Ready to for me to enter
the water,
the fucking water.
Yep.
And there is a snake that flows across the river. And I looked at you and I was like, you liar. You're a liar. You dirty little liar. Like on Mean Girls. No. But seriously, I died. And then you still, we were like, then we took the boat all the way down the other end of the river.
Like,
got me. Can I just say, kneeboarding was one of the shittest things I've ever done. And I kept, do you remember how much fucking water I swallowed? Because Steph's like floating on the water. I hated
it. Seriously,
because the boots are so heavy.
The boots.
Was it boots?
What? No, that's the wakeboard.
Was I wakeboarding or kneeboarding?
When
I can't remember.
When we did it together and you saw the snake, we were kneeboarding. Okay. I don't know. Did you try wakeboarding?
Well, I've tried something where I had to put something in my feet and I couldn't really.
That's wakeboarding.
Okay, well, it was that. And I couldn't really swim properly because I've got these heavy things in my feet. And I'm
swimming with a wakeboard.
I'm sinking and all I could think is, where's the snake? And I swallowed half of the Murray River. It's just not for me.
So can I just say?
I tried like five times and you were like, you get it. You get it. Go again. And I'm like, I'm going to drown because there's 1 liter of water in my body, the dirty river water. I don't like the river.
Okay, number
I
one,
can't get
it's
up.
Like the cleanest water because it's running water.
I don't care.
And number two, you didn't listen to our instructions. If you are not up, let go of the rope.
She held onto the rope even as she wasn't. And just, her bum was scared. I didn't know.
And that is how you saw
guys, you just had to imagine. I'm like holding onto this fucking thing and like the water is just flowing into my face.
And you're like, let go.
No, because then I'll be left alone for the snake to eat. It was. Oh. And then the worst thing, this is what I hate when you're learning something new, and I don't want to learn this, okay? And when you're learning something new, and then the people that have done it before are like, it's easy, you'll get it next time, just try one more time. And I was like, guys, you don't understand, my body is not wakeboarding. It is. It's not happening. Every time the boat took off, I just went, pancake. Straight pancake. Couldn't keep myself up. And honestly felt like it was just, it was so bad. It was so hard. And you're right, I didn't let go. And I just, oh, wow.
You know what I've just remembered as well is the week before that.
Oh, what now?
No, the week before that. That's why I was like, no, it won't happen, because I saw a snake last week with Wheats on the river. Because Wheats, our mate, Wheats, he was the same thing. He was wakeboarding. We saw a snake, but this snake had a freaking baby snake next to it. And I'm not even kidding. You know, he just said you couldn't swim with the boots.
Oh, yeah.
He shot out of the wakeboard boots, like didn't even need to untie them, like shot out of them and swam that fast to the boat that it looked like it was running on water. Like I've never seen someone move so quickly. And that's why when you were getting in, I was like, we're not going to see one. I saw one last week and it was the first time in like 20 years. Is no. We'll be right, and then no. Bang, another
Weren't
one.
Right. Weren't right.
Weren't right. Weren't anyway, right. We would love to hear, especially from Australians, about Australian.
Well, no, because to our global listeners.
But that's the thing; it's for the global listeners to really, truly True. Understand Australian wildlife. What Australian wildlife have you come like face to face with? We want to hear your stories, funny, scary, maybe not any that were like terrible, because we don't want to be frightened of ever going out into the country. But yes, please send in your voice memos. You can DM us through our Instagram, which is KeekPod. And you can also tell these stories in the Facebook group as well, our KeekPod Facebook group. If you're not already in it, please join us. And we would just love to hear it.
And if you enjoyed this, just for some sugar in between, there's an Instagram page I fucking love. I'm going to put him in the show notes, the link to his page. Yeah. He's this guy. I don't know where he lives. He's Australian, somewhere in Australia. And him and his daughter, it's mainly just him and his daughter, who's she's probably about 6 or 7. I don't know how old she is actually. She's probably 12 if I said 6. At some age between 6 and 12, I have no idea.
Very different.
She has like long purple hair, like she's a really cool kid. They have a pet wombat.
Oh,
I think it's called Gosney or something. It is so, they are so Australian.
Oh, I love
it. It is so fun. Like they put the wombat in the bath. So cute.
Oh, cute.
They like the other day I was watching a video, he saved an echidna that was going to be, he's just so funny.
Oh,
and
love.
It makes me, I feel like that's what people think Australia is. And I mean, for him it is. So anyway, if you want any more of this before the next episode, I'll put his page in the show notes because it's very good.
We love. Thanks, Will.
You know when you're scrolling Instagram mindlessly, usually it's very bad, but sometimes something speaks to you and you are like, oh my God.
Come across gold.
Gold. Mm. And it's like, I could not relate to this more. And I feel like, and then as soon as I saw this clip that we're about to play the audio of, I was like, I feel like a lot of people will be able to relate to this, like in a hardcore way. Now, it is an episode of The Diary of a CEO with Stephen Bartlett, and it is a snippet from the episode they did with Dr. Karen Gurney, who is a clinical psychologist, psychosexologist, and couples therapist, and also known as the orgasm expert. Amazing. Anyway, this is what Dr. Karen said.
The most common thing people say to me in sex therapy is, I didn't really feel like it, but we had sex and it was great. And afterwards I said, why don't we do that more? That's responsive desire. It emerges out of sexual activity. The problem of long-term relationships is that we see a decline in what I call sexual currency. So how we relate to each other as sexual beings. We start to see sex a bit like an on-off switch. So we're either having sex or the rest of the time, we're not being sexual together. You know, we're not passionately kissing unless it's part of sex. We're not sending each other those flirty messages we used to do at the beginning. We're not spending time lounging around in bed on a Sunday morning, being naked together in a way that might kickstart desire. So these low levels of sexual currency and these high levels of familiarity, seeing the same person every day, means our brains just don't code them as sexual stimuli in the same way.
Can I just clarify that? Sexual currency, this definition, basically means, if I think of this in a financial context, if you see someone as being highly sexually desirable, they have a high sexual currency in your mind.
Not quite.
Okay.
So think currency more like charge. sexual currency, my definition of it would be, it's everything that you do that marks you out as a sexual couple, apart from having sex. So this is the stuff that you wouldn't do with your friends, you wouldn't do with your family, you wouldn't do with your kids. So you're physically affectionate with all those people, right? But the sexual side of it, the passionate kissing, the bum grabs, the flirtation, the saying you look super hot in that top, these things are sexual currency.
I'd say that to you.
I was thinking that too. Okay. Tell me, Steffi, did that talk to your soul?
Yeah, so much so that I listened to the whole episode. I loved it.
It is so true. Yeah. Because how many times have you had sex with Josh
and said
at the end, we should do that more?
Yeah, it annoys the shit out of him. He's like, I literally would love that. Thanks.
I reckon I almost say it every time.
Yeah.
Almost every time.
It's true.
And it's one of those things. What I related to so much about this, probably way too much information, Joel's going to kill me. But even when you have sex, when you're married or whatever, you've been together forever, you don't like do any sex. You literally like get your clothes off and go into the bed. Like you don't, it's not like,
It's not like the movies.
It's not like the movies. Yeah. It's not like you like do anything like take. But it would annoy me if Dalton started taking my clothes off. I'm like, I can do it quicker. Yeah. But you know what I mean? You become like this efficient, like.
And you also just know each other so well that it almost becomes a bit of a routine in a way that it's like, I know you like that and then I like this, so then this usually works when I do this first and then we then flow to that and then this just works. It's a formulation that just works. Like, why would we change it up?
Exactly.
And then you go through stages where you like can't be bothered with that formulation. You try and change it up, might be exciting for about 30 seconds, and then you're like, let's just do what we know. Right? So it's like a little. I don't know. There was a lot in this episode. I mean, a lot of that was in that clip. A lot of the best bits are in that clip for sure. But I definitely would recommend going and listening to the entire episode because there was so much that I related to. But I think the other thing was like seeing it as, I think my issue, and like Josh and I have spoken about this, what I would love to implement, and I think I brought this up after we did the 30-day sex challenge. What I would love to implement more of is, as she spoke about, that sexual currency where there's like, more passionate kissing, more like affectionate hugging and touching and all of everything in between before sex, right? And it not always having to lead to sex to count as sex, if that makes sense, right? Because I really enjoy that kind of affection. I just don't always think or feel like I'm up for going all the way, right? But when you get to this point in your relationship, it's like, you just kind of feel like, well, if we start passionately kissing, that's where it's going. Like it's going to end up to sex. Like why wouldn't it kind of thing? And so then you kind of avoid the passionate kissing because you don't want to have the sex at the end. And then so it's like you're not actually doing any of the in-between stuff, which I actually really love the in-between stuff. And then sometimes you do the in-between stuff and then you start feeling like sex. It's like this annoying, it's like I know it in my brain, but I can't in the moment, I can't remind myself clearly enough of it.
100%. I can't even explain to you. So Dalton and I have this conversation all the time. He can't kiss me without needing to have sex with me.
Yeah.
It really annoys me. And I'm like, can we just, even I can't be, sometimes
can't
when
be
I'm
naked.
Like, I don't want to have sex today.
Yeah.
Because we've spoken about this a lot. And it's also like genetically, women genetically have a lower, on average, sex drive than men.
Yeah, on average.
That's exactly on average. Yep. Some women obviously have a higher sex drive,
Some men, of course.
But I think the actual statistic is that men have a higher sex drive than women do. And in our marriages, we have lower sex drives than our husbands.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. So with some days that I'm like, I just don't feel like having sex today. Yeah. If I'm naked and I know Dalton's around, I will run to the bedroom
to cover up
in case he sees me because then I know that he'll want to have sex. I'm like, that's really lovely, right?
Yeah.
But it's also like we can't, and we have this conversation all the time. I'm like, I just want to cuddle. I just want to have a nice kiss.
Yeah.
But he's like, oh, I just can't. Like it just makes me want to have sex with you. And I'm like, it's really nice. But it's the stuff in between that's also really special. And when I was listening to these, it's like it does. Otherwise, it just becomes.
You avoid it.
Sex or not sex. Yeah. And not sex is like you're just two
living
friends.
Side by side.
Exactly.
Roommates. I know.
Exactly.
I know. Anyway.
Exactly.
It's so interesting. And I couldn't relate more. And I think, what she was saying in the podcast is that it's like unbelievably common. So like, no, you're not alone. And it's not just in super long-term relationships, because it can happen after, like she said, that the spontaneous desire starts to decline after 1 year in a lot of couples. And I think even sooner in other couples, like 6 months or 18 months. So everyone's kind of like honeymoon period where they're like spark is like super strong and you just like want to be on top of each other. That is so different for everyone. And when it goes, it takes work to get through that and to like bring elements of the spark back. And I say elements because I don't think it'll ever be like it was when you just like initially had a crush on each other and didn't know what was happening or like where you were going to be. Like, you guys are in a secure, safe relationship now. And it's a bit different.
Agree. And if you haven't listened to our episode with Megan Luscombe, that episode came out last Wednesday. Mm. So it's the most recent episode in the feed, apart from this one, obviously. And in that episode, what I loved about it was that we spoke about this and that there's, you know, sometimes we're just looking for this spark and that's actually not possible after. And what I loved about the way Megan spoke about it was you actually don't, when you think about it, you don't want that forever.
Because it means that you're like scared you're going to potentially lose the person, or they're not there forever. Or,
exactly. So
agree.
Definitely, if this resonated with you, listen to that episode with Megan. Mm. It was so good. But yeah, I was like, this is talking to me.
Yeah.
And I need to share it because I feel like it'll talk to some other people as well.
Yeah. No, I really loved it. That's all I, yeah. So good.
What is it time for?
Share.
What is it time for? Special share.
Share.
Lucy.
Hi.
What have you got for us?
Oh, whispering. I'm trying to find it. Here we go. Oh, okay. I have got a book. So on Saturday, I had a book block for a little bit, which is really annoying me because I was in such a good book reading routine. Mm-hmm. Anyway, and I do have a lot of books at home, and I know I could have looked at my bookshelf and chosen one of them, but they weren't talking to me.
Okay.
And so I went to I love this bookshop. Mm-hmm. It's the Coventry Street Bookshop in South Melbourne. Nice. It's right near the market. We went to the market, then I was like, oh, I'm just going to go into the bookshop. Yeah. And it was on the long weekend. It was really lovely.
Yeah.
And I went in and I was like, I'm going to buy a book to read today. And I loved it. It is called Everyone and Everything by Nadine J. Cohen. Mm-hmm. When I went on Goodreads, which I don't have an account, I know where someone should get an account. I don't, but I just went on and it said, if you like this book, you'll like other books. Yeah. And a lot of the other books were books I liked.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, I will read this. Yeah. I'm gonna enjoy it. And what it was about this lady, and she has a really like bad depressive episode. Like, she calls it a breakdown in the book. And it is the journey of how she kind of gets out of that mental, that mindset. And that place. And through it, she finds the baths, the women's baths in Kooki in Sydney.
Oh, yeah, nice.
And she makes a very special friendship there. And it also explores the relationship she has with her sister as well, who helps her like in her recovery and her journey. Mm. And it's just this beautiful exploration of adult friendships, like sister relationship, kind of overcoming that like really hard times in your life, grief. Really, I read like two-thirds of it in one afternoon. I loved it. And then I finished it off the next day. I thought it was just amazing.
Love that.
Yes. It was really good. I just really enjoyed it. And I'm so grateful. We're meant to be staying down the beach for the whole weekend. And then what happened was we thought we booked accommodation, and then they were like, oh, no, it's not available. And we're like, oh, cool. Right. No, fine. So we just went for one day in the end.
Yeah.
So then I was – but if it hadn't have cancelled, I wouldn't have been able to go to this shop and get this book. So I'm very grateful because I really loved it.
Oh, good.
Yeah, anyway, it was really random fact at the end.
Love. So everyone double-check their bookings.
What is yours, my love?
Mine is also a book.
Go us.
I know.
Books.
Look at us go. And I was also in a bit of a book block, but I went to my shelf because last year I didn't do that and I just kept buying new books. And I love books. Like, my dream one day is to literally have a library in my house and just like have all the books that I've read. And
I never feel guilty about buying them. Like,
no,
when I buy clothes, sometimes I'm like, oh, I really didn't need that. That's like going to end up in landfill or things like that. With a book, I've never felt that before.
No one ever get me a Kindle. Just FYI, if you're a loved one listening, please do not get me a Kindle. I love books. I love holding books in my hand. So It is by Leanne Moriarty, who is the writer behind Nine Perfect Strangers. She's written like a bunch of books that I've loved.
I've definitely recommended her before.
And so when I was in this like Leanne mode, I bought all these books. And this is one that was like on the shelf for a while that I'd like kind of forgotten about. But in my book block, I was like, you know what? I'm going to pick up that book. And it's called The Hypnotist's Love Story.
Oh.
And I love it. And it's like,
Wait, have you finished it?
A love story. I'm three quarters
through. Oh, no.
I'm three quarters through.
Well, hopefully the end.
I love it. It's like, it's not just like, and it's not just a love, like it's not, that makes it sound like just like a romance thing. Mm-hmm. It's not. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's kind of not thriller either, but it's like a bit like twisty and you don't know what's going to happen next. Ooh. Kind of thing. Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. So I'm really enjoying it. Well, I'm enjoying it enough that I can recommend it at three quarters.
Nick, well, I also feel like I love you so much and I love that you always recommend special shares. I feel like I get too excited. I know. I love it. I feel like 50% of your special shares are I'm in it and I'm loving it.
But tell us next week. I will. I'll give you guys an update.
What the last bit was like.
I think what it is as well with books, like I don't like books that take 250 pages to get good, right? No. That's so annoying.
That's too long.
And this book I felt like got good in the first like 60 pages. So that's like rare. I was like, okay, I'm already invested in 60 pages good. So that's why I'm comfortable with recommending it, whether it's like halfway or three quarters way through. That's when I will recommend a book to you, when I know, because it gets good early.
I know you take this very seriously.
Thank you.
No need to justify. I just love. Mm. I love that you get so excited that you share before you finish and then I just, oh, lol. But now we get a double because next week you will come back and tell us the last quarter. Yeah. Was it as good as the first three quarters?
Good.
But I agree. Yeah. If you can't put it down after 60 pages, it's amazing.
Yeah, it's good.
It's amazing.
It's good. Anyway, guys, that's all we have for today's episode. I'll be back in your ears on Wednesday. It's a Kick Bump episode with the lovely Katie Lawless.
Oh, I love Katie.
I'm so excited for you guys to listen to this catch up. Katie is just absolutely gorgeous inside and out. And she's jumping on, she's got two little ones now. She's jumping on about dealing with grief, the grief of losing her sister, Nadia, very close to having her first baby, Harper. So it's a very, very like, obviously emotional, but like very, very, very lovely conversation as well. Katie's so beautiful. So I hope you guys enjoy that. And as I mentioned earlier in the podcast, we would love to have you guys involved in the Kick Pod Facebook group. If you have an Aussie story, please send it through. But also just in general, if you want to give us feedback on any of the episodes or share where you're listening to an episode, what you thought of it, or suggest guests or topics that you'd love us to cover, that is what the Kick Pod Facebook group is all about, those kind of discussions. So we'd love to have you.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Bye.